There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a very special and impromptu episode of How to Be Sound. If you are a good fan and a loyal follower, you will have noticed that we did not have a new episode last week, which was basically because I was a bit disorganized and was going through some big life changes. Basically just didn't get around to doing a new episode. So instead of that episode, you're going to get to hear a mini-sode that I recorded after episode one with Kira Norton, where we talk about a whole array of different things. And this is the type of content that you will get if you are a patron at the $6.66 per month level or more. And that what that basically means is that you get to support me in the work that I do, and you also get extra content such as this mini-sode. When Louise O'Neill was on the podcast, our extra content for patrons was a very special reading from her new book, Almost Love, by Louise herself. That recording is going to be worth a lot of money someday, I'm telling you right now. Anyway, without further ado, welcome to Minisode 1. Hello and welcome to the special Patreon-only Minisode of How to Be Sound. By now, I hope you've listened to episode 1. Please give me your feedback. Let me know what you think. Give it 5 stars on iTunes. If you don't want to give it 5 stars, just give me some feedback and give it 5 stars after episode 2. Like, hold your water. Here I'm joined by Kira Norton, environment enthusiast, soon-to-be tiger mom, and one of the smartest people I know, where we're talking about books, films, TV, and other fun stuff. But I do also want to start each episode with a little walk down memory lane. So Kira, do you remember where and when we first met? What are your recollections of that magical time?
So we met more than 10 years ago, which might be terrifying, because when I figured that out, it was terrifying for me. We met in college in both of our final years. We were both studying English and Italian in Galway.
Do you remember where we were when we first, like,
I don't remember what you were wearing. I was part of a group that was coming into the final year, having spent the previous year doing Erasmus. You were part of the group of maybe just one.
I think it might. I was the group.
Yeah, you were the group.
I was the loner in my own group of me.
And you'd skipped Erasmus.
I had.
And you'd spent the summer in Italy instead, I think. So you were probably just as qualified in the language as I was, having come back from a summer in Dublin.
Yeah, and you know why I had skipped Erasmus? So at the time, I had taken a year out before I went to college, because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And I thought maybe I wanted to work in the civil service, which I did for a couple of months. And then I decided, no, I definitely didn't want to do that. And I went back to college. But I felt like, the reason that I gave my parents for not doing Erasmus was I'm already a year behind, and I also did transition year, and loads of my friends are graduating and I just don't want to be another year behind. But the real reason I didn't do Erasmus was because I had a boyfriend.
Oh.
And I really loved him. And I did not yet. And I did not want to go to Italy for an entire year, because I thought that either I would be miserable because I'd be missing him so much, or we would break up because long distance is hard.
Which I think happened to a lot of people on the Erasmus programme.
Yeah, so I made up a whole host of different reasons.
Yeah.
But I didn't do Erasmus. But my recollection of when we first met, and this is probably not true, because I'm sure we met in class, right? But
yes.
My first memory of you is sitting in the cafeteria in NUI Galway, which was, I mean, I wonder if it's any better now, because it was not nice.
I'd expect it was not good. I think there's a Starbucks on campus. Not that that's an indicator of anything positive.
That is very much less. I think it must be better because they have a Starbucks now.
But I think that campus catering across the board has improved in some way.
Well, we'd hope so. Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, it has been 10 years. 10 years.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so I remember you and your friend walking into the canteen. I think I was sitting there and I thought the two of you were really cool, but also kind of bitchy. But I was like, those two are very aloof and they're never going to be my friends because they think they're too cool for me.
Which is quite funny, because the year before I did Erasmus, I didn't feel like I had any close friends within that group of Italian studying students, because I was friendly more with people who were doing the English course. So it's funny that you should say that.
You seem very clicky to me.
Yeah,
well done.
I remember one of our first interactions being over that song by the Jose Gonzalez cover of the Knife song.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you were talking about it, and you were like, you know, that's not his original song. And I was like,
I used to love telling people that. So,
and I knew that it was the knife, and I think he may have bonded.
So for anybody who doesn't know, you know that Jose Gonzalez song where there's all the balls bouncing down the street in the video, and it's like One Night to Be Confused, One Night to Speed of Truth. That is in fact an original song. I'll tweet a link to it.
It's called Heartbeats.
It's called Heartbeats, and it's by the Knife, this kind of Swedish electro.
Yeah, pop. Which we saw later that year. That's the summer after we stayed.
No,
in
Galway. We didn't see the Knife. We saw the lead singer of the Knife. Where was that in?
The Róisín.
And the Róisín Dubh.
Yeah.
In the Róisín Dubh.
There you go.
That was amazing. So there are slightly varying, our varying views being conflated. I'm not sure that's correct. My English degree was obviously 10 years ago too.
Well, this is it.
My English degree was obviously a very, very long time ago. It's January. It's January 2018. It's a new year, new you. Have you set any New Year's resolutions, any goals for 2018?
No, I've never been a resolution setting type, mainly because I suppose up until a certain point in my life, my resolution was always to like live healthier and lose weight. And then I just stopped doing that. As in I stopped that being my resolution.
You stopped setting that same resolution
every single year. And this year I don't really. I feel like Christmas was something the latter part of the last year was something I was looking towards as kind of midway through my pregnancy.
Oh yes, because you're pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
And this is why you're no longer cycling, which we'll also talk about.
Not that
you can't cycle while pregnant.
No, not at all.
And
I have been cycling, but I've recently finished. But yeah, so I feel like this Christmas was like this moment that was kind of very far, far away, and New Year's is very far, far away, and then I would begin to start taking this pregnancy seriously.
And then you'd finally give up the smoking and the drink and the blue cheese and you'd start thinking about your baby.
But here I am. No. So yeah, I do feel like now all signs are pointing towards my due date in April, and it's all happening very quickly, and I feel like I grew a lot over Christmas, and the new year has just brought some
not figuratively but literally
I have grown a lot. So yeah, that's kind of my New Year's resolution, is to have this baby
and be a good mom,
be a good mother. And I suppose in the interim, look after myself and don't give myself too much of a hard time when I feel like, you know, I can't walk as fast as I used to because, you know, I'm carrying a child.
Baby on board.
Just
get a sticker.
Yes.
Speaking of stickers, would you get a badge? You know the way, so I've been listening to The High Low, which is one of my favourite podcasts with Pandora Sykes and Dolly Alderton.
Yes.
And Pandora Sykes is currently, I think, very pregnant, like under 8.5 months.
Yes.
And she was talking about that she has a badge, is it for the Underground in London that basically says give me your seat?
Yeah, that's been going on, I think, by the London Underground for years. And Irish Rail actually did introduce it this year. They have baby on board badges.
Do you have one?
Well, I actually do because the yoga studio that I go to had a bowl of them in the reception. So I took one, but I'm never on the dart and I'm never using Irish Rail. I like it. And Dublin Bus. I saw somebody I follow on Twitter asking Dublin Bus if they were going to introduce something similar or honour this. I mean, I suppose it's all like up to the people actually seeing the badge and deciding whether or not they'll give you your seat.
But
they said no, that they had no plans to introduce something similar.
You know what was interesting as well? When I was listening to The High Low, they were talking, well, actually in a different episode, they were talking about man spreading. And they were saying that they don't see woman spreading as being a particularly productive response to man spreading, but that they were saying that they would like if other women would say to men who are manspreading, sorry, would you give her a bit more space? If you see a woman sitting beside a man who's spreading his legs very widely and taking up a lot of space for himself and his crotch, that you would reach out to him and say, excuse me, would you mind giving a little bit of room to the woman to your right, kind of thing. And I think it's probably similar when it comes to the bus or the train and pregnant women or people who need seats. But it can be really, like I was on the Lewis yesterday and I was standing. I always stand because, well, I was going to say, I always stand because I only go 3 stops. I could walk. Like I am lazy, but I'm not that, like, I'm not lazy enough to sit down. So I do have some standards. So I stand, and there were 4 men sitting down in the 4 very front seats next to the driver. And a woman got on who was, I'd say, in her 60s. She was of an age where she carried her shopping in a wheelie trolley. I mean, I know some young people who do that too.
Yeah,
but
there's a certain,
there actually is, there are amazing ones for sale on North Earl Street, I think, that are cow print. And I really, really want to get one, even though I would never really use it because I just do my shopping on the way home from work.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't be wheeling this thing. Anyway, so she got on, she had a trolley. So you can kind of imagine the scene. She was elderly. And not a single one of them got up. But they all definitely saw her because they kind of, I could see them, their eyes looking at her and then looking away really like, I'm not doing it, it's not me, I can't see her. Like,
yeah.
It was actually...
Astonishing. And if none of us do it, none of us have to take it. Neither of us have to take any responsibility.
But I also didn't feel, even though I, you know, kind of intellectually would say, we should say, excuse me, would you give this woman your seat? Mm. I was just like, no, I can't. I just felt really intimidated and I didn't do it. It seems really trite to talk about my New Year's goals, seeing as you're having a baby and that kind of trumps a lot of things in life. It's like, well done. So your goal is to like, bring your baby into the world.
That's all.
My goals are like, I'd like to deadlift a little bit heavier. I'd like to lift a bit heavier in the gym. But I also decided that one of my goals, and this is going to lead on to my next question, was to read a book a week. And so I'm now, what are we? We are kind of 2-3 weeks in and I've read 3 books.
Oh,
so
well
I'm doing,
done.
Thank you. Yes. I'm doing amazingly well, although some of them were shite. So I read Brené Brown's Rising Strong.
Oh, I've seen a lot of Instagram about
it's,
that
it's
book.
It's very basic of me. Okay. It's so basic. That's okay. And actually, my fourth book is very basic as well. So I read Brené Brown's Rising Strong because I really love her work around empathy. If anybody hasn't seen it, she has a really interesting YouTube video where she talks about empathy and the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy driving disconnection and empathy driving connection. And it's really interesting, especially from a mental health point of view. But her book I just found was very simplistic. You know, very kind of a beginner's guide to recovering from failure in a way that I didn't feel was hugely practical. And also she kept talking about her church,
okay,
which I felt was like church propaganda. And then the second book that I read was Feminist Fight Club by Jessica Bennett.
Yes, which has been on my Amazon wish list for a while, actually.
Oh, well, I have it downstairs and give it to you.
Great.
Give it to you before you go home. And I thought it was really good. That's essentially about how to recognise sexism in the workplace and how to respond to it in a way that people won't then automatically think you're like a feminist killjoy, which isn't that useful for me because I work in a gym with 3 other women. So when there is sexism, it's usually against men and that's not a thing. So I don't have to respond to it at all. But yeah, like it just had some really interesting, like very useful word for word. Here's what you can say when this happens.
Yeah.
And here's what you can say when a man speaks over to you. Speaks over you. Exactly. And then the third book I read was Roxane Gay's Hunger.
Yes.
Which was actually incredible.
It is.
And I read it more out of a sense of duty that I was like, I've seen a lot of people talking about this and I know I should read it and it's meant to be, you know, one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought it the other day on Kindle and I devoured, like the first 30% of it was gone in about 3 hours. And then I took the rest of it really, because it gets very, not grim, but very moving, very affecting, quite difficult to read, but also, you know, incredible and arresting and her writing is amazing. And it's essentially, Hunger is about Roxane Gay and her relationship to her body and how she became, in her own words, super, super fat. I think she was saying she maybe wears a size kind of 30 clothing. So she is definitely, you know, one of the people that we talk about when we talk about body positivity and should fat people be allowed on airplanes? Like, you're talking about Roxane Gay.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's a really incredibly moving account of her hunger.
She had a great contribution to the This American Life episode on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
On fatness, and she spoke last, I think, after an interview with Lindy West, and she spoke about how she is not the type of fat that Lindy West is. And so the kind of body positivity movement, I think she feels almost excludes people like her because she's not, I think she called herself Lane Bryant fat, because, or Lindy West is Lane Bryant fat because she fits into clothing.
Yeah.
She can still go to a mall in America.
I actually remember listening to that. Yes, yeah.
Whereas Roxane Gay doesn't have that privilege. And I think that's kind of where she comes from on her size. And
And she has some really interesting thoughts around the body positivity movement, essentially, where she's going, I do think that fat people are entitled to respect, of course, and, you know, are entitled to love and are entitled to feel beautiful. But she's going, I don't feel beautiful and I don't feel good at this size. And she's like, whether or not that's programmed into me by society, I still have to live in this world and I'm not going to overcome that before I die. So I would rather try to lose weight and be happy, you know. So she doesn't talk about actively trying to lose weight, but it's kind of an undercurrent the whole time is that she doesn't want to be this size.
Yeah.
But then to do with a whole load of different traumas in her life, every time she loses weight, she then decides to kind of gain it back again in a kind of a self-sabotage. So those are my three books. And my fourth book, which I'm just about to start, is that Sarah Knight book about 2 years after everyone else, The Life-Giving Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which is kind of timely because I just threw the life-giving magic or whatever of tidying up into my never want to see you again going to the secondhand shop pile.
Okay.
I just hate Marie Kondo so much.
Yeah, I haven't read the book. I think I gave it the Marie Kondo book, but I know enough.
She ruined all my clothes. You know, she's like, go into your wardrobe and pick up everything and say, does this spark joy? Like, absolutely nothing I own sparks joy. Things I own are either comfortable or are kind of cool in a, this could make me look pregnant, but I don't care because I'm pretending to be Scandinavian for the evening.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of
generally
vibe.
From COS, but yeah.
Yeah, from COS, exactly. COS or occasionally Another Stories. And when I started picking them up and going, does this spark joy? And I was just left, no, joyless, empty. The Life-Giving Art of Not Giving a Fuck is next, or The Life-Giving Magic. And I also have been watching The Crown, to which I'm now...
Yes, I've finished The Crown.
Oh my God.
That was Christmas for me.
Well, I'm only on season one. Oh. Totally fancy Prince Philip.
Mm.
And also kind of in real life now.
He's a bit of a problematic ride.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Problematic rides. There's a lot of them. Colin Farrell, I'd say, is another problematic ride. For anyone who's seen his sex tape, definitely know why. Problematic. But Prince Philip now, when I see pictures, and he's like, what age is he, 300? And when I see pictures of him and the Queen at things, and I'm like, oh, there's Prince Philip. He's a bit of a blonde ride. But then
Do you mean that you fancy Prince Philip, the actual prince?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The crown. You were talking about the actor.
I am, right? So what's his name?
Matt Smith? Am I thinking of something?
Matt Smith. Yeah, okay. from Doctor Who. So yes, I do fancy Matt Smith in The Crown. But in his portrayal of Prince Philip, he has also caused me to fancy Prince Philip in real life.
Oh,
so there are definitely moments
definitely
now.
Problematic.
I know, definitely. I know. And where I think about all the really terrible things Prince Philip has said to people in public, and I'm like, oh, he's such a gas riot. And I just can't. Oh, I can't separate the two now. It's awful. It's terrible. So anyway, I also watched one episode of Black Mirror season 4.
Well, yeah, I watched my first episode of Black Mirror last night ever.
And we watched the same episode, Crocodile.
Yeah, Crocodile.
Which I wasn't...
I wonder why we both picked that. It was picked for me by the group I was with. But. Oh.
Well, I actually picked that one because... No, I wanted to watch Hang the DJ because I'd heard my favourites, Poppy and... Or Dolly and Pandora talking about it. But I was shouted over and gone, this is meant to be a good one. And Crocodile... And I've seen season one and I thought it was really smart. And then Crocodile, I wasn't that mad about. But I am obviously... I'm gonna give it the good old college try. Mm-hmm. And I also, movie wise, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri was incredible. Hostiles was very good, although I suspect it won't be in the cinema for that much longer because there aren't too many screenings every day of it. And what else did I see recently? Oh, Star Wars, obviously, twice. Oh, and I saw the most amazing thing. So an Irish woman whose name I must discover now in a moment, so I can share with everyone, has been making handmade little felted porgs.
I saw that on somebody's...
Shauna from Sex Chuppa got one.
I saw it on her Instagram yesterday.
So Shauna Scott, who runs sexchuppa.ie, which is a really great sex-positive website where you can buy vibrators and dildos and lube. I bought some lube from there before. Very nice.
Pleased for you.
Thanks. She was talking... Or she put up a picture of the porg that she... bought or was given, maybe she's a friend, and I immediately was like, oh my God, I need a felted porg. Who knew I needed that in my life? What have you been reading and watching?
What have I been reading? Well, I'm in the middle of...
Have you read three books this year?
No. Sadly, I haven't. I've probably finished.
Well, you're thinking about your baby, so you haven't.
Yeah, so I'm finding myself reading a lot of pregnancy related stuff, and I need to give it a break now because I'm towards the end of the Ina May Guide to Childbirth, which, if anyone's familiar with kind of the natural birth movement, will know who Ina May is. She has this kind of place in Tennessee called The Farm where they all give birth naturally, and she's very like midwife led. Kind of.
Oh my god! I would not want to go somewhere called The Farm to have my baby.
Yeah, it's like the first section of the book is birth stories, and a lot of those kind of contain tips and things that you might want to use yourself. But there's some of it that's very crunchy, very kind of granola-y.
What do you mean?
That kind of like, yeah. So and okay, it's very, so like very anti, wordy, anti like, kind of what does she call it? The techno medical.
Oh, so you kind of imagine they'd be wearing hemp while like
yeah, there's a lot
their
of
children
like,
out
of
with
nipple
like wooden
stimulation.
Spoons in their mouths, kind
yes,
of thing. Okay.
Yeah, you know, a lot of nipple stimulation, a lot of like, and then I started making out with my husband, and suddenly my waters broke, which is lovely. But
good for you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to have trouble convincing my husband to do similar things to me, I think, in the labour ward of the Rotunda if I was to go down that route.
I was just about to say, I don't think he's going to have a big problem with making out with you. Like, was there something wrong in your marriage at the moment? But
no,
I get you. In the labour ward, yeah.
That's
be weird.
Been beside my bed along with a whole other host of other pregnancy books that I've been given by friends and colleagues, and I'm flicking through them on and off. I also started the Booker Prize winning Lincoln in the Bardo, and I cannot get into it. I'm finding it so difficult.
I felt like that about The Gathering, Anne Enright.
Yeah.
I never read it. I read about two chapters and I just found it very, I couldn't get enthusiastic about it.
It started quite well, but now it's all kind of, it's all quotes or historical facts. It's weird. Yeah, so if anyone out there has had success with that book, I'd love to hear about it.
Oh, you can,
if it's
you
worth
can tweet
persevering
Kira.
With. And I also, one thing that I read a lot of that's not a book is the Refinery 29 Money Diaries. I've spoken to you about this before.
You are obsessed with
them. I'm obsessed with them. I read them. They come out on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays on the US Refinery 29 site. I think the UK site also has them, but I'm not as interested in
so
how English people spend their money.
I read one last week. By a girl who spent something astronomical, like $850 in the week or something. And she was talking about how it's weird when you read into them. So they're essentially diaries of day to day and how much money people spend and what they spend it on. And this girl was saying that she spent quite a large amount of money, but she was saying that she spends more than her boyfriend because she earns more than he does.
Yes.
But there was something about the undertone of this one where I just didn't like her boyfriend.
Oh, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of...
You can read a lot into them, can't you?
And I covered this because he covered that.
Yeah,
or he's currently paying off a loan.
Yeah.
I think the American one's really interesting because a lot of them are lumbered with huge student
debt. Yeah.
Like, I have 75 grand in student debt and I'm still haven't finished my education.
Like, I feel desperate sometimes when I'm like, I'm going to have to pay 2.5 grand for my tax last year that I haven't put aside because I'm an idiot. But how, if you're American, do you wake up every morning knowing that you have 75 grand to pay back to college?
Yeah.
It just is so grim.
And then you see like people who have essentially been gifted their education by their parents, or that they've worked really hard and gotten scholarships, or they've gone to state colleges and they haven't studied out of state, so they don't have the same level of loans. And there's a lot of like kind of anger in the comments. I don't usually read the comments on anything, but the comments on these articles can be like, oh, well, you know, your parents paid for college.
Oh,
and
people
your parents
being
annoyed are paying
at their privilege.
Yeah. And, you know, why aren't you contributing more to this, that and the other when you've been gifted this education? And they're absolutely, like, I think they're compelling. And like, some of them are so boring. Some of them are people who just, like, don't do anything with their week. Some of them are people
that
who,
sounds like me.
Yeah, like, it's, they are a great lunchtime read if you sit in front of your computer at lunchtime, like I sometimes do.
And what about, so you finished The Crown?
I finished The Crown. I started watching this series on Netflix called Love. It's kind of like two kind of hipstery LA people meeting and their relationship. And they're short episodes and they're not great. And they're all a bit horror. Like, I don't like any of the characters, but I'm oddly compelled. And I'm deep into the second season now. And they're all making poor decisions. And it's very upsetting.
You know what, though? That's how I felt about that Black Mirror episode, Crocodile.
Yes.
I didn't care about anyone in that episode.
No,
except for maybe the insurance woman.
Yeah.
There was one character who you might be like, yeah, I hope you come out of this all right. But the rest of them, I just did not care.
Yeah.
But I still, it was still compelling. So I suppose that means it's really good writing, because it's easy, I guess, to get people to watch TV if they love the character.
Yes.
But it's like season six of Sex and the City. If that had been season one, nobody would ever have watched that show, because Carrie was such a heinous bitch.
Yeah, exactly. This is it. You have to either hook them in with great characters or great story. Or for some reason, this show may have neither, really,
or
if
rides.
I think about it. Yeah, no, none of them either. It's a strange one. I'll watch it. Watch an episode and see what you think.
Oh, have you watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? That's the other thing that I've got quite into lately.
I think I watched one and...
Oh, yeah, I'm actually not sure if you'd like it, because it's a kind of a musical.
Oh, yes. No, I think that's probably the reason.
Yeah. But when you get into it, it's actually hilarious and it's really weird. And the main character, so, is this crazy ex-girlfriend who moves to a different city to be with her ex-boyfriend who she hasn't seen in years. And it is really bonkers. She's totally nuts, but in a way that, like, scarily I can identify with in a lot of ways. Like, some of her insane behaviours, I'm like, oh, definitely did that.
And it's been quite critically well received, I think, in general. I think a lot of people really like it, that it's smart.
It's she's really a great smart. Character. And it's also, I think she's a great character because she's a woman. I love them. And also, she's not like a total ride. She's not totally skinny. She's not your typical heroine. She's totally nuts. And like loads of the stuff I was thinking about. So I was dating this guy for a while. I think you remember, let's just call him Brad. And I was dating him for a while around the time of Foursquare. Do you remember when Foursquare was popular?
Yes.
And people would check in where they were. And
I think I know who you're talking about also.
Yeah, and they would become the mayor of certain places. And I used to compulsively check his Foursquare. And it wasn't like, I never turned up anywhere he was. Although there was one time I was going to a gig and I checked into Foursquare and realised that he was there already and literally like began to sweat profusely from my eyeballs. I was so excited. But I literally used to stalk him. And like in a way that if this was in a TV show, I think people would be watching it going, that girl is insane. But I felt perfectly sane when I was doing this. When I was like checking in to see exactly where he was. Thank you so much for listening to the first minisode of How to Be Sound, and of course for supporting me on Patreon. If you feel like there's more you could give, please go to iTunes, give me 5 stars, send me an email, let me know what you think, info@rosemarymccabe.com, or tweet me, insta me, DM me, get all up in my DMs. There will be a brand new episode of How to Be Sound out next Thursday, that is the 12th, and every second Thursday thereafter, unless I have a really, really, really good excuse. Thanks for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.